Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening and welcome to the Scuttlebutt Network Radio Program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton, co-host Cal is out on assignment, but we are both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we're glad that you have joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today. We've got an outstanding show for you tonight. It's extremely important. Stick around. Don't run off, particularly all you vets. But first, we want to thank some of our sponsors that make this show possible. The battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, the Charlie Wilson Insurance Agency, the law firm of Garberg and Kimberly, Ed Seafood Shed at the top of the hill in Spanish Fort, the Medicare lady, Ms. Keisha Chambers, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. And thanks to all of our great sponsors, without your help, and our listeners, we cannot do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. SBN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So join the discussion on Facebook or follow Cal on Twitter. Tom, also that we would say that there's no news is good news, but the news coming from Goat Hill these days could have a lasting impact for our veterans in the state of Alabama. And I am joined with veteran Pete Ream and a host of other veterans tonight from the local area to discuss what looks like a political power grab by Meemaw and company. I have other names that I will probably digress on later during this show. And Pete, it's a pleasure to have you on board here. That's awesome, Commander Pete Ream, a gentleman that you've known over the years for being here on 106.5. And he's just an awesome gentleman and a hell of a veteran, and he stands up for our vets, and I'm here to go hoorah for him. You know, man, we got a damn problem.
Yeah, well, no, thank you so much, Tom, for having me. It's an honor to be on Scuttlebutt and in studio back. Feels like home week coming back in here. Been a while since been in here.
You were here so many years.
Yeah, I've been here. I put 11 years in here doing. Anyway, that's something else.
All right.
Now, we got a big problem. The Governor Meemaw and her cabal up there in Montgomery is trying to silence veterans. Now, this tends to be a bit of a complex issue for people to understand, so I'm going to see if I can distill this down. Right now, after World War II, the World War II veterans in the 1940s set up the State Board of Veterans Affairs and the Alabama Department of Veterans Affairs so that veterans would have a voice and that they would have not only input, but some control and authority over the state, the Alabama Department of Veterans Affairs. So it wasn't all just political. And so they created a State Board of Veterans Affairs where veteran service organizations from across the state, and there was a formula based on how many members they had, would be granted representation on the State Board of Veterans Affairs.
Right.
So, for instance, American Legion gets three, VFW gets three, Marine Corps League gets one, Military Officer Association gets two, Disabled Vets has two or three, right. So on. Right. So there's roughly 15 or
and
so.
And even a POW.
POW, MIA. All those organizations had a representative on the board that they would nominate. The governor would have to approve, but each organization got to nominate and put their representatives on the board. That board then had oversight of the Alabama Department of Veterans Affairs to the point that they had oversight of what their objectives were, and they got to review the operations. Now, they didn't really get involved in the operations, but they had some review power and advisory power because the commissioner, the Alabama Department Veterans Affairs commissioner, was actually hired by, not by the governor, by the State Board of Veterans Affairs. They would hire him, and then they send it over, and the governor would have to approve it. But she doesn't get to hire him. The SBVA would hire him.
Right.
So we have a system where the veterans have a voice.
But they couldn't legally fire him either, or she couldn't.
Well, that's a whole other thing. She did it,
and that's a big
legal thing. Did she have the authority to do this? So a few months ago, she did, which is part of the reason we're in this, is she got angry. We'll get into that. That's another part of the story. But she got angry and wanted him fired, and she asked the State Board of Veterans Affairs to fire him twice, and they refused twice to fire him.
Mm.
So now, just a couple months later, her solution is a bill that was introduced last night and already passed out of committee in the Senate, which is lightning fast. Nothing happens in Montgomery fast.
Unbelievable.
It's fast. To abolish the State Board of Veterans Affairs and make the Alabama Department of Veterans Affairs commissioner a political appointee. So that means he or she is solely hired by the governor. The veterans have no input. The SBVA gets abolished.
Right.
We no longer are allowed to nominate or put people on. They will replace it with an veterans advisory committee where the governor appoints seven people and they appoint one. The speaker appoints one, Senate pro tem appoints one. So if you're following, so what happens is instead of us, you nominating
right,
who you want
veterans,
to,
right.
We don't get to nominate me.
Right.
The governor gets to pick all of her cronies,
right.
And they're only beholden to her and not us. We are going backwards. She is trying to silence the veterans, and literally the Alabama Senate and the Senator Andrew Jones from up in Cherokee County sponsored this bill with Ed Oliver, and they shoved it through committee this morning on the first day. They slit our throats this morning.
Man, unbelievable.
That's what we're up against. And so, folks, this is dire and urgent because basically for them to file a bill last night,
right,
introduce it in the morning, and pass it out of committee, and I've heard some rumors they're going to try to have a floor vote tomorrow.
You know that's a damn ripoff.
The fix is in.
The fix is in.
They are trying to get this done before we have a chance to respond.
Right.
So that's why we must mobilize veterans across this state and say, you need to hear our voices before you do an overhaul of that. Hopefully that sort of sets the stage of what's going on.
Well, let's get Colonel Barrow on here. I think we have a couple more minutes in this segment, but we could carry him over to the next segment. Colonel Barrow?
Good afternoon, or good evening, I should say.
Yes, President of South Alabama Veterans Council and a recently retired Army major from the Junior ROTC
Lieutenant
group.
Colonel.
Yes.
That's right.
Go ahead. Give us your opinion, brother. We've been talking all day.
I know that you and I have talked about this before, but I hope to kind of stay out of the fray of this since it's in my new position. But our constituents approached me yesterday evening, and after listening to their concerns, I had to agree fully. And as you know, I sent out a letter today and asked all of our members and anybody that has an interest in this to forward that to their respective legislators, because this is an absolute tragedy that's happening in Washington or in Montgomery, and it's unnecessary.
Right.
You know, I know we're giving the governor a lot of heat, but here's my own take on this. I think she got bad advice from somebody inside, and now that she made a decision, she doesn't want to back off of it. It's just absolutely unnecessary to change the way the commission, the board is currently set up. And, you know, our politicians do need to understand, and Pete pointed that out, hey, we're a pretty big block in this state. And
right.
Alabama, they always tout, they always talk about the great things they do for us and veterans.
Right, and yeah. Thank you.
But not anymore. Many of the things have been taken away, and they'll talk the game but not walk the walk, and that's disappointing. And especially given that this is a coming from relatively what we would call conservative members of our legislature, and that's just a shame to me that we're in this boat at the moment.
So that is so true, Colonel. But yes, we got a hard break on. Let's take a break, and we'll be back here in just a couple of minutes.
I'll be right here.
All right, and Scott About Network will return to you shortly. We'll bring the Colonel back on board with Commander Pete Ream here, and we'll continue with our conversation about our problem that we're having in Montgomery.
I am Gunnery Sergeant Hartman, your senior drill instructor. From now on, you will speak only when spoken to. And the first and last words out of your filthy sewers will be, sir. Do you maggots understand that?
Sir, yes, sir.
Can't hear you. Sound off like you got a pair.
Sir, yes, sir.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And Tom Claxton with the Scuttlebutt Network back here with you tonight. And we have our Commander Pete Ream on board here with us, and we'll let him continue his conversation with our Colonel Barrow here.
Hey, Colonel, you put that letter out. Can you say that your folks are mobilizing, and how can people get a hold of your letter so they can send it? I think it'd be really great if they could send it to their representatives.
Yes, the letter is available. I've asked Fran Barber, who she does a great job for us, to put it on our website. So if you go to the SAVC website, relatively easy to find, you should be able to see it there, and you can forward that on. I know I've received a lot of commentary from others that I didn't even know had the letter, but it's fairly straightforward with all the facts that laid out that you did such a good job there, Pete, talking about, and it, you know, systematically laid out the history of the organization and how effective it's been. And then at the end, I challenged our representatives and senators to say, look, guys, this battle is an unnecessary event. You're trying to fix something that really was a vendetta from the governor's office to the organization. And it was so sad because the former commissioner was doing such a superb job leading the veterans board there. And it's just a shame that it came down to really just button heads. And the veterans stand and their families stand to lose out on some tremendous benefits because of the potential for cronyism. And we know that exists in Alabama.
Hell yeah.
Anybody,
yes, we do.
Anybody that thinks that our legislative group does not have been their ears for those who line their pockets, well, you're out of your mind. But they'll talk to us and say, oh, we love our veterans. We're so proud of what you've done. And yet, when it comes time to vote on key legislation like the bill that should have been passed last year to help out some with mental health issues, they back off because somebody who stood to lose a dollar or two said, you don't do that because we may come back and punish
right.
you.
The lobbyists close ranks on that. And really, right. Here's the big thing about this bill, whether you agree with the bill or questions the bill, you want to work with the bill. The whole thing is this is the biggest complete overhaul and change of the Alabama Department of Veterans Affairs since World War II in 80 years.
Right.
And you didn't ask the veterans. You didn't give us a chance to have input. You just put it out there. You're trying to ram it through before we have a chance to voice our concerns. That tells us something.
Yeah, and none of us were asked about it. That's a shame, just like you said. And no one knows better what the veteran needs are than veterans themselves. I would be interested to know after this vote is done is how many of those individuals that voted in favor of it are actual veterans.
Well, let me tell you, I know the answer to that. Do you know how many veterans are in the Alabama State Senate?
Unfortunately, I do not.
One. Senator Greg Allbritton is the only veteran in the Alabama Senate. Do you know he was not asked or consulted about this bill whatsoever? He found out last night when the rest of us found out.
Damn.
Well, that's the old Alabama mule politics that we've known has existed for years. It's one of the reasons our Constitution should be changed. We've got our heads stuck in the past and just old brutal politics, and it's so sad and unfortunate because it didn't need to be this way. And I regret it for if this thing passes. The right answer then is for our voting block, about 400,000 members and their families, to look at that and say, okay, I need to get you out of office and get somebody in there to represent my values. So that's the way I look at it. I really need to break off again. I think you know my dad, who is a veteran, an Air Force veteran and Coast Guard veteran, retired from the Coast Guard. He's been having some health challenges, so keep him in your prayers.
Yes, give him our regards and well wishes, and thank you for your leadership. And we will be sending people to the South Alabama Veterans Council website. Get that letter and send it to your senators and representatives.
Thank you so much for that plug. And we'll see where it goes, gentlemen.
All right, thank you, Colonel.
Thank you, Colonel.
Appreciate your time. Yes, awesome, awesome job. Now we bring it on up. Another gentleman or two here. We have Sergeant Major and Patriot of the Year, Brian Battaglio. And this gentleman was on that board for his period of time. And he's got another gentleman that he's bringing on with him. I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but Brian, come on board today, Sergeant Major.
Yeah, thanks, Tom, for having me and for allowing me to invite Troy Carrico on as well. Troy is definitely a guy who's in the know, you know, a veteran himself. We both come from an infantry background. He's got one heck of a bio and regularly talks on a radio show up near Montgomery. So he's close to the horse's mouth when I am when it comes to things that are taking place within the Congress and the Senate. And That's the main reason why I brought him on board. I have a feeling after you hear him talk, you're going to be inviting him back again. And you know, he's very close to the admiral. We're both in support of the admiral's plans for whatever that may be since his resignation, lawful or otherwise. You know, we're convinced that the supreme powers that the governor suddenly found are not just illegal but unethical in of itself. So, Troy, are you online?
Sergeant Major, I'm here.
Outstanding. Well, Tom, how can we I listened a little bit to Colonel Barrow and Pete, Commander Rhyme, and you can hear their disgust in their voice, and those are two very professionals that don't normally lose any composure, much less their cool. But you can tell how
you just don't know Pete. You can't see his face. You can't see his face right now. He is But I'll let him go ahead with the conversation because both of us can't handle it.
Can y'all give us some insight from your perspective, having been up there, on how you see what they're trying to do and how they're going about it, and maybe you can expound more on how this literally silences the veterans. We have a voice now, and they're trying to take it away.
Yeah, well, so one inject from me, and then I'll pass it on to Troy. As a former board member, compared to what's happening now with that board and the changes in the legislation, which wasn't only minor changes, this thing is a complete overhaul. I think that board and its members are neutered and they're ineffective. You know, I don't see, and if she gets her way by this legislation going in, back to Pete Ryan's point, the VSOs, the Veteran Service Organizations, have no say-so into who sits that board and represents their own organizations. And oh, by the way, in the legislation is written that a board member doesn't even have to be a veteran. It specifically states veteran or non-veteran.
Holy
cow.
That's
criminal, man.
Yes.
I'm really disgusted to see it go that way. There's like 16 board members right now that are rated. You know, it's every 7,500 members to an organization that rates a member. So the bigger organizations have more than one member, the American Legion, VFW. And but the new legislation will call for all of those that membership to be decreased to 9 versus the 16 or 17 that it officially was. That, you know, that's been happening since 1945 when ADVA
right after World War II.
Yeah, completely disgusting. Troy, over to you.
Thank you, Sergeant Major. A little background on myself: former Army major, did 5 combat tours, infantry grunt, was enlisted, so I'm a Mustang. Worked with DIA, Gray Fox, Special Operations Group, with the Iraqi Survey Group for Scott Ritter. I've been around. I've been with the Corps of Engineers as a Chief of Intelligence for Major General Ken Cox in the Transatlantic Division. I have been there and done it, and I can tell you this. If this does not cause a call to action amongst the great veterans of this wonderful state, then I don't know what to say. BSOs, any of you out there listening, you better rally your troops. I'm telling you now, there's a storm coming. And I speak on behalf of Admiral Davis in this regard. We intend to take back what is our rightful claim of a fair and just government. You know, once upon a time, it was said that the greatest threat to America, and this was by the Surgeon General of Obama, who said the greatest threat to America is veterans. Well, listen, you better listen, because they've got our attention. We had 2 different groups on the ground today at the House and at the Senate in person. They locked the doors. They turned the lights out. They lied about the positions of where the meetings were going to be held. They denied entry to veterans to come into the State House. If this does not perturb you and cause you to question everything about this operation, then I don't know what to say. Mark my words, on the 25th of February, we're working to secure the permits. We're asking for all the veterans of Alabama to rally around the Admiral. He will make a statement, and we are going to be in force, a brigade plus strong, a regiment plus strong, on the steps of that State House on that Tuesday, the 25th, at 11:30 hours. I ask all of you that are listening, tell your friends, tell your family, come join us. We're going to have a social afterwards. We want them to know we're not going away. So I'm speaking with some veracity. We have people on the ground tomorrow. They're going to push this through in the morning. We already know that. Here's the bigger question, gentlemen and ladies. Who's running this show? Meemaw. Now, there's some other bad actors that are behind all this, and we need to expose them. And it starts with the likes of Ed Oliver, Scott Gedling, all these scoundrels that are out there. Andrew Jones, who some are veterans, should be ashamed of themselves. Because, you know, the Sergeant Major hit it best. You don't have to be a veteran to be on this board, and it's a political appointee. Who do you think is going to be on this board?
Hey, you said something about the vote tomorrow. I heard a rumor they're going to try to have a floor vote and push it through the Senate tomorrow. But then I've had a couple of senators tell me that that's not going to happen.
All right, we're going to have to take a quick break, guys. We don't have any control over it. Be right back.
Hang on.
Okay.
Text us. 251-343-0106.
Soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network. We have an abbreviated show tonight with all the... We're getting out of our normal routine, but we do want to recognize our sponsors. And we'd like to thank all those people, because without them, we wouldn't be here. the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, our sea lawyer Colin Kimberly, and all the fine folks at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Head Seafood Shed on top of the hill in Spanish Fort, Charlie Wilson Insurance Agency, Medicare Lady Miss Keisha Chambers, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. And we're so blessed to have some of our distinguished vets here on board with us here tonight. And we have a couple of gentlemen on the phones with us. And we have Commander Pete Ream in the studio. And we have a serious topic of discussion. Go ahead, Commander.
This is a call to action, obviously, for all veterans. And I would say, look, for veterans, family members, and supporters, even if you're not a veteran, but you've always supported veterans, and you would expect that your state government would do right by veterans, you should be calling your state representative senators asking, why are you not listening to the veterans? Sergeant Major, is there anything you can add or enlighten the folks of how the current SBVA that's been in place since for 80 years, how that's effective?
Yeah, well, I think, let me put it from a personal perspective. I got almost 37 years of active duty in the Corps. And when I was reaching retirement in 2015, we were looking for a place to come to. We chose Alabama. We've seen on the website how, you know, Alabama, according to the, you know, verbiage, took care of its veterans, and the stars were aligning. And I don't feel that way anymore from what I have seen, not just from the outside, but sitting on that as a board member as well. Not everything that happened on the board I agree with, and that's the beauty of the democracy in a vote. And I never served under Admiral Davis's when he was a commissioner under his predecessor. I served under Admiral Davis, and I seen firsthand what the guy did and how he filled void and gap throughout the veteran community. And to disrupt that by asking for his resignation based off of retaliation from an ethics complaint is just the kind of problem solving that you and I don't recognize as being military folks.
No, right.
And so it's caused me to seriously consider relocating away from the state that I'm that disgusted. And I know she has a shelf life, the governor, but by God,
Sergeant Major, it's not just the governor. It's all of those legislators who know what's going on, but are turning a blind eye and just not saying a word and not sticking up for us and just taking their marching orders. That's what disgusts me.
And they're screwing over us by pushing this thing through in like 24 hours. Unbelievable.
Yeah, you would say the old system, we had a voice. We didn't, like you said, we didn't always get what we want, but we had a voice and we had influence over what happened. And I think y'all made good progress when you were on the board, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. No doubt about it. And that's all being shaped and strategized through Admiral Davis's efforts. I know it's a team effort, but he was the team leader, and there was so much more to be done as well. The work wasn't completed. It was stopped, and it was stopped by the governor with this ridiculous, resignation. So when the resignation took place, Pete, I had called for a special meeting, and as a board member, I can do that. And if I get the concurrence from four other, making five board members, a special meeting would be called. This goes back to a point Troy made earlier about Scott Gedling. He was the vice chairman of that board at the time, and we know for a fact that he was calling behind the scenes to discourage folks from having this special board meeting. And so it never took place. And I mean, the dirty politics that are I experienced in there. I'm glad I'm off the board now, and because I think I will lose my composure, and I can only hope that Gedling would look in the mirror one morning and say, I haven't served this duty honorably. And he's a retired colonel or something in the National Guard and resign. We heard some rumor that he would resign, but that never took place either. So he's in cahoots just like the rest of the politicians and intimidated by the governor.
I was going to say, that part's true about the intimidation. Let me tell you, I'm hearing little bits and pieces from up there, but they're all being told to get in line. And if you don't get in line, you're getting a visit from the governor's staff.
And shut up in color. I went through too many years of that as an enlisted guy in the Marines.
Right.
And, everyone should have a voice. And the way this ADBA and the state board was working was absolutely fine. It was effective. Admiral Davis had a team. He broadened the scope of, brought back to life so many VSO offices. Of course, you know about the new state home, looking at another cemetery up north. I mean, he has so much work to do, and it was just exterminated with the governor's actions. I just don't agree with her problem-solving techniques. And
none of us do, sir.
Sergeant Major, can I interject one thing?
Absolutely.
And I want all the listeners to think and consider one moment about what I'm saying here. There is a pattern of disrespect, of contempt, of disobedience, of any decorum for the Constitution of the state of Alabama, for executive overreach at every turn and in our front of our faces, almost rubbing our noses in it, that we can do this with impunity. Because let's be honest, the state ethics board has no teeth. We operate in a dystopian environment right now as veterans, and we have the power to take it back.
And we need to. And it's interesting the way you put that. And I know some of the people out there listening are going, really? But when you're in this and you're seeing what's going on and how they're running roughshod over us and deliberately trying to silence us and not give us a chance to have any input, then exactly what Troy is saying is what is happening. I mean, we need our own doge up in Montgomery because it is rife with corruption and there's nobody up there to resist, nobody to protest, because when they say, look, if you want those lobbyist checks, you better shut up and vote the way the governor tells you to, or you're not getting that next lobbyist check for the next reelection. That is what's going on up there. It is dystopian and it's disheartening.
But we can overcome it. If we rally and wake up Veteran Nation, Alabama Veteran Nation, the entire group of us, we are, this is an interesting fact. For every veteran that votes, the Federal Elections Commission says that 1.7 other votes accompany that vote with the veteran in favor of their vote. That's family members. You said it earlier. The colonel said it earlier. Hey, the sergeant major said it. You said it. It's not just about the veterans. It's about those that are part of our families and of our networks. And we have the power, and they've awoken a sleeping giant. They kicked the hornet's nest, and it's going to come back on them.
I agree. If we this rally, if we get hundreds of veterans or thousands on February 25th, they will all run for cover.
Brother,
they will run for cover.
Brother, they will be afraid to come out of the state house, and we'll be there. And Admiral Davis is the man to lead us. He's a man of integrity. He's like Sir Thomas Becket, a man for many seasons.
Where can we get more information about the 25th?
I will be putting it out to Sergeant Major Battaglia. He's working with our immediate steering committee. I'll be putting it out to all of the heads of the VSOs. The Admiral and I and our team are rallying around to try to figure out points of the belly button to push. But I would ask you this. I will give you my information, and you can put it out. Sergeant Major has it. But we are working to secure the permit. But it will be the Tuesday, but God willing, Tuesday the 25th, which is 3 weeks from today.
All right.
On the steps of the State House at 11:30 hours. I will be putting out more information.
All right. We will spread that. There will be at least one bus load from South Alabama.
Amen. We're going to have to go, guys.
It's been an extreme blessing to have you on. Thank you. We will get back.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Radio Network, voice of the veterans for veterans on 106.5, streaming live. What an awesome show tonight, and the areas that we cover, and is unbelievable that it's occurring to our vets. And our vets saw this coming in 1942. They developed through legislation a system to keep from having this problem. And our gracious Meemaw is kicking all of that to the curb and filing a new legislative bill to be passed and kicking all of this 80 years worth of history to the curb. And you know what, guys and gals? That's along with us and our over a million votes, if we can all get together. But we have a couple of gentlemen here with us tonight. We have the commander here, Pete Ream, and we have Colonel John Kilpatrick on the phone. And it's a blessing to have both of you gentlemen with us. Go ahead, Pete.
Hey, Colonel, are you there? Colonel Kilpatrick, is he on? I know he's not shy.
He might have got cut off on the first line.
He might be on line, too.
Colonel Patrick, you with us?
Pete?
There he is. Is that you?
It is the one and only Colonel John Kilpatrick. How are you guys doing tonight?
We're doing great, and I know you know a lot about this. Is there any? I mean, we've talked a bunch already tonight about how, look, they're trying to ramrod this through quickly before we have a chance to know what it is. You know, it's one of those Pelosi things. You got to read the bill. You got to pass the bill to know what's in the bill type thing. Ramrod it through before we get a chance to have an input. Do you have any other insights about how they are not just silencing veterans, but how this will be detrimental to veterans' services and benefits that we can get?
Well, here's what I know, and you know, a lot of your listeners, Tom, know my background. I mean, I got 39 years of doing this stuff. I got 29, you know, 10 years in the Marine Corps and combat. You know, I'm a recovering alcoholic. I got 29 years sober, and I've been doing healthcare operations for the Army for 29 years. You know, we started Vets Recover 10 years ago to solve a problem, and it was access to care. And, you know, little did I know, you know, the mission of Vets Recover is to remove barriers to care. And what we learned very quickly is that the system is the barrier.
Right.
And the system is all of this stuff that we're talking about. And here's what I know. I've been taking care of veterans and solving veterans' mental health issues for a long time. And here's what I know. The veteran knows what the veteran needs.
Yes. So
and
true.
Anybody who claims to be solving a problem for a veteran who's not asking that veteran about their needs and their family
right.
about their needs,
right.
there's something amiss. And so, you know, I try to stay out of the politics. Unfortunately, you know, you got to live in the world. You know, it's very clear to me that the folks that are leading this effort do not have Alabama veterans' interests
right.
in mind.
Totally.
Well, they didn't even ask us.
Right.
They didn't even ask.
No respect.
Yeah. Yeah, if you, I mean, I've been in the helping business for a long time. I'm a clinical social worker. I can't solve your problem. I can't solve anybody's problem, but I can help them solve their own problem, and they know what they need, and it's all about guiding them to it. And this is a bunch of folks have gotten in a room and decided the best way to maintain the system is to, you know, call it a veterans program, and then funnel the money to where they want. And that's what they've been doing.
Oh, that's what they've been doing with everything. They're going to funnel it to their friends, to where they want, to the, and I'm going to just come out and say it,
yeah.
to who gets kickbacks, just like we're finding up there in Washington, who gets the kickbacks, and because we're getting in the way of somebody getting their cut, they want to silence us.
Yeah, and, you know, you just got to, people just have to look at the facts. Look at and think logically about what's going on. Why would a group of senators create a bill, file it in the middle of the night, put it through a committee before anybody knew it was happening, and try to get it to a vote on the floor without any veteran having anything to do with a complete reconstruction of the Department of Veterans Affairs? It just doesn't make sense.
Cover up.
Yeah, no, so, it's clear. So
It's just disingenuous for anybody to stand up there and say, you know, this is for your own good. You know, we used to have a saying, I can't say it on the radio, but, you know, basically don't, you know, pee down my back and tell me it's raining.
Right.
I'm not an idiot.
Yeah.
It's very clear who's doing what and why they're doing it.
Yes.
And it's unfortunate that we have politicians that have decided to, you know, I mean, and they've been after me for 10 years. They can't stop us because we're doing the work. And we're doing the stuff that's making a difference in the lives of veterans and their families. They're not going to stop Ken Davis. He's been helping veterans and service members his whole life. He's going to keep doing it.
They're trying to put the fix in, though.
They're going to keep doing what they're doing, and we're going to keep doing what we're doing. And, you know, my only hope is that the people, you know, all these folks up there claim to be Christians.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, they, you know, look at
the website. I don't need to go to that church, John.
Here's what I know. You can't do what they're doing and live with yourself very long.
Amen.
No.
That is the number one source of mental illness.
Right.
When your actions don't correlate with your beliefs and actions.
Yes.
And so you got people saying one thing and doing another, and they're going to have to deal with that.
Yep.
And all we can do is expose it, try to bring our brothers and sisters, our fellow veterans to the fold. You know, I've been at this for 10 years. You know, it took 2 years to get a certificate of need to build a capability that our mental health monopoly said was an urgent unmet need in our community 12 years ago.
Right. And they fought you every step of the way.
I mean, it just doesn't make sense. And so,
well,
you know,
it does make sense. It's the corruption.
It's not personal. It's not about me. It's not about the veterans. It's about the money.
Right. They after the money.
Oh, no, and that's exact. But see, that's where it all gets disheartening, is because this group of senators, none of them are veterans, and I'd be willing to wager none of them have gone to any veterans' homes. None of them spent any time over at the Alabama Department of Veterans Affairs. None of them have visited any mental health clinics for veterans. But they drafted a bill to overhaul something they don't know anything about and didn't just not ask us. They tried to keep us. They're trying to keep us from having any input.
They hid it.
Yeah, well, they show up at the veteran houses. You know, they showed up at that $90 million state-of-the-art veteran home.
Oh, yeah, like they
the
had
state
something
board
to do with
of Veterans Affairs, that the State Board of Veterans Affairs got built on time.
Under budget, and they show up to take credit and say, vote for me. Now, I get it.
Well, they didn't cover the $30 million price increase as a direct result of COVID. Guess how much ARPA money the Department of Veterans Affairs got?
None.
Zero.
Yeah.
And we were $30 million short because of a price increase directly related to COVID, which is what the ARPA money was for. The Department of Veterans Affairs didn't get a dime. Guess what? We pulled it out of our hide. We made it work. We delivered a $90 million construction project on time, on budget.
And just so people understand, Colonel Kilpatrick was on the board at that time.
Yes, I was on the board. The work we did on that board, and Sergeant Major Battaglia was there. I mean, like you said, we didn't agree on anything. We had meaningful, well-informed discussions, and we made decisions. And we voted not on our whim, but, you know, I was put on that board to represent the Alabama Council of Military Officers Association.
Yeah.
I didn't vote my preferences. I voted my for my organization and the 12,000 people I represented there.
But really, the point is, it worked. Y'all made progress. You were doing things. You were finding solutions and bringing services to veterans.
Well, it's again, you just got to get back to the facts. Why would any reasonable person sacrifice the career of a 30-year-plus war hero who's done an outstanding job operating one of the best veteran programs in the country? So you're going to throw that guy under the bus,
right,
to keep an ethics complaint out of someone who's running one of the worst mental health care systems in the country?
Yeah, what's that number?
You can't reconcile that.
Is it $800 million a year they spend?
$1.2
billion. $1.2 billion gets spent on mental health care in the state of Alabama. That should incense every Alabamian right now to know that that much money. Okay, we're almost out of time. We're going there. I want everybody go to South Alabama Veterans Council website. The letter is there. More information. Colonel, is there anywhere else you would point them to go?
Hey, if you're struggling, Vets Recover. We're here. Amen. We answer the phone 24 hours a day. It's run by veterans. It's for veterans and their families. We take care of any service member, veteran, first responder, their family, and we're doing it.
I trust those people, and I highly recommend them. Go to them if you need them.
Hey, well, thanks, Tom. Thanks for getting the word out, guys.
Thanks, Colonel. Folks, the battle has been called.
Thank you, Commander.
It's a call to action.
Great job. We will be back. This is not our last hoorah. And to all of our great veterans and all out there, and our first responders, hoorah.